Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
And like, maybe fool me once, twice, I don't know, but I've seen that genuine side of him that I've loved for 15 years, who has been a good friend to me, and I'm hoping he's changing and becoming better.
It's just the same thing over and over with Sheena. I don't know why she thinks that somehow she knows this man better than I do, but all right, girl.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Today we're talking about Vanderpump Rules because what the fuck was that? You know what I mean? Like, what was that? I watched both the live airing and the Peacock extended version, so we'll get into, you know, a couple of things that happened over there. And okay, guys. Choices were made, weren't they? What the fuck was that? Weird. We'll get into it. Okay. Do you just want to take like a calming breath beforehand? Cause, huh? All right. That's in and out. Okay. It's the morning. We're all in sunny San Francisco. Everybody, the name on everybody's lips is going to be Dan. By the way, Ariana's going back to Broadway in August, so it's the morning. Everybody's talking about Dan and if he's going to be around Sandoval. Are they going to speak to each other? What's happening? Is Dan going to hang out with the rest of us? Is he going to hang out with Brad by Brad? Who knows? Lala's telling Katie. Ariana told her at some point that Dan has been in fights before and that he already said he's not going to shake Tom's hand. And somehow her conclusion to that is that she feels like Dan is a square. I'm sorry. I know you saw that he had like 47 abs and you were loving it. And now you hear that this is like a native New Yorker who can fight. And your conclusion is that he's a square. I don't get it. But I didn't get anything you said, Lauren. Not a thing you said this episode. Did I understand? So, you know, why start now? Sheena is giving full discount Mariah Carey in her hotel robe over in her room. She's got the straw in her coffee cup talking about her big performance with Brock. And then her husband, fucking marsupial and a mustache. He's like, oh, how'd your conversation was it? You told him go the night before. And he's like, oh, you know, we had this genuine conversation, but I do wonder if Tom is being genuine with me or if he's playing with her. But, like, Ariana isn't going to see the good with him because of what he did. But, like, so I just don't trust anybody. Marsupial is like, oh, you know, I love Ariana. But, like, between the two of them, she's not the one who's reaching out. He is. And then he says in a confessional, dumb bitch, you know, Tom has been the most generous, caring friend in the whole group to him. And, like, yeah, you know, he does all these things that Sheena, to Sheena or for Sheena, that people don't even know about. Like, he's just opened up the Sandoval Foundation of angel donorship specifically for, like, women who want to be pop stars, kind of, and reality TV makers. Well, congratulations, Sheena. And congratulations to you, Brock. That's one more month that you don't have to worry about how you're going to pay off your child support. Just hitting refresh and refresh on your PayPal app, just hoping. hoping that your best friend Sandoval comes through again, aren't you? Stupid. Sheena has a moment of clarity by saying, you know, actually, Ariana talks to me more than most of the people in my life. And he's like, well, yeah, but like action-wise, she's not all around, always around. And Sheena's like, I get that. Like in this group, we kind of know how it is with Ariana. She's going to be the person who maybe not show up, but she always wants to be invited. I'm not going to turn my back on her because she's always been there for me. Why are you, you Australian goofball, trying to convince her otherwise? Like, what's in it for you? Why are you trying to be like, well, let's like really establish who's a real friend to you? Like, and let's establish, I would like to know, Kara from New York wants to know, how do you, Lala, Brock, and Sheena define presence in a relationship? What does being there mean for you guys? Brock and Sheena specifically. And then we got time, we can circle back on Lala. What does that mean? And like, how is Ariana failing in these things? Like, that we need to have these conversations as to going onto the fucking chalkboard and going tit for tat on who's been there. And I'm just going to fucking say it. I know for a fact that like Tom, in the midst of this whirlwind of his whole life crashing down because of the consequences of his own actions for months, that he was like going around trying to like cash in on all the good deeds that he did with people. What about that time that I went here for you? What about that time that I did this thing? What about the time that I did that thing for you? Where are you guys now? I did all these things for you. And what? Where are you at now that I've completely fucked up my life and made y'all's lives harder because I was a dickhead? Where are you? When I was like doing a little Backstreet Boys dance and while you were, lip syncing to Good as Gold. Ariana wasn't doing that. So why aren't you my friend now, Sheena? Bullshit. And this is like, why aren't y'all getting this? You know, ma'am, I'm telling you, women, the best advice that you can get from a dude who you're not sure about, listen to him when he's yelling at you, because that's how he feels. When he's saying, Sheena, when he's screaming to you on the phone, we're not friends and we never were, that's how he felt about you, Sandoval, or Sheena. That's how he feels. Dead ass. Listen to that. He told you. So you being like, Ariana's trying to convince me otherwise. No, he told you that, girl. And he meant that. When he was yelling to your husband, not how many, like 2.5 weeks ago, maybe, about how you definitely did clock his ex-girlfriend or whatever Rachel is to him in the forehead, just like he did to Jax how many seasons ago. That's what he meant. Listen to it, girl. And you need to listen to it too, Brock, dummy. So everybody goes on the trolley, you know, like a true San Francisco treat. They're going down the middle of the road, merrymaking, having a great time. Dan is there, Sandoval's not. And so Lala starts her campaign of like, I need to question Dan, right? Because, you know, she gets to be the arbiter of the question maker, the dreamer of dreams, isn't she? Just Willy fucking Wonka. Lala Kent. So they're like, were you going to be here if Tom was here? And they're like, I don't know, maybe. That was basically it. So they stop off in Chinatown having this like incredible lunch. Marsupial with a mustache is like, oh, what has everybody got up to the night before? And Lala reveals, oh, sorry, Shorts, got your girl. I was actually in bed with her. You were trying to make this let's scroll on our phones and not pay attention to each other and eat junk food thing happen. And I got her. I did it. We sat there and laid on our backs with our eyes closed, listening to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had a grand old time. So then Lala's like, okay, I'm actually going to go deeper into my interrogation of Dan. What's your backstory? What's your work history? What's your social security number? He's taking this like a champ. Doesn't care. How old are you? Do you want to have kids? Blah, blah, blah. And she asked him if he wants kids. He's like, yeah, I think so. She's like, oh, you need to hang on to him. You do. If a man says that, you need to hang on to him. So Allie takes the lead and she's like, well, I want to know, what is it that you are attracted to about Ariana? And Dan says, we were in this big group of people and they were talking about race stuff. He found Ariana to be really empathetic, and he's like, this is like a big trigger for me. I've gotten into fights because of my race, and the thing, like, she was basically spitting game. I didn't even think she needed to have like, be that empathetic. And she was doing it without any effort, right? That was really attractive. So then Allie poses a question to Ariana. What did you find attractive about Dan? And she says, you know, they were at that same gathering. She had kind of mentioned, like, oh, hello, who's that? And they're like, well, do you want me to introduce you? And she's like, no, like, you know, a little too soon, right? But then she's listening. They're having, there's like a conversation amongst women. He's talking and he's saying all the right things, right? And she's saying, like, he's not interjecting, not trying to make himself the center of attention, you know, that sort of thing. I just quickly, my mind is wandering. I was thinking about eating candy in bed. I had heard about this viral candy, and I'm not really a candy girl. I'm a chocolate girl. Like, I haven't picked up a Skittle in years. Okay. Starburst. I don't really know her. I'll go up for like a pink one if it's in my, like a light pink one or one of those like burgundy ones if they're in my immediate fingertips. But again, I probably haven't had a Starburst in like at least 7 years, you know, they just don't call to me. That being said, I did an order at Walgreens and I had to like do, I had like a dollar before it went into free shipping. I'm like, oh, I heard about these candies on TikTok. They're Walgreens. They're nice brand, the Walgreens store brand, and they're peelable mango. So it's like a mushy on the outside and on the inside, it's like more of a chewy thing and you can peel it. You eat both of them, but you can peel it or you just like eat it however you want. And it actually tastes like genuine mango. It's so good. If you're a mango girl, try it out. It's only like $2 for this little bag. Delicious. But anyway, back to the point. I mean, I heard Ariana when she was saying, this man doesn't try to like, you know, pussy pop and make every situation about himself, unlike my ex. And I love that. And he does seem like he breaks her back just a little bit, you know, and we can always appreciate that. I certainly can. And not for nothing. Let me tell you something. I've been with a couple of those body types and they love to like lift you up and put you in all these fucking pretzel poses. So shout out to y'all. I know what I'm looking at. Okay. So anyway, after this, they're asking Dan, like, have you talked to Sandoval yet? And he's like, no. Okay. And Sheena's like, oh, about that. I talked to Sandoval last night and I told him about weaponizing your mental health. And I felt like, honestly, I saw for the first time, the mask kind of fell a little bit. And I think he really thought about it. And I was like, oh my God, how the fuck did I not see that? I really think that happened. So Katie's across the table, like, how long are we going to believe this guy's tears? Like, what are we doing here? So Brock's like, no, well, Sheena has a friendship with him and you guys keep dismissing that. And Katie's like, I don't actually give a damn about anything that comes out of his mouth. And then she says in a confessional, everybody's trying to make the Sandoval situation way more nuanced than it actually is. When a guy fucks over your friend, fuck the guy. Thank you. So simple. Schwartz. Tom Schwartz. Come here real quick. Okay, listen, turn the volume up as much as comfortable, okay? Tom, shut the fuck up. What does he have on you? What do y'all have on each other? Because at this point, it's giving. Y'all know I constantly look at Food God and Kim Kardashian's relationship, and I'm like, what's happening? What does he have on her? What does he know? What's in the vault? And at this point, I think there's some weird human centipede thing. Like, we all know this thing between Jax, Sandoval, and Schwartz. It's been obvious for years. Sandoval managed to, for me anyway, escape the orbit. I know he did not for many of you, and I want to recognize that. For me, escape that as being like, I know he's got this weird relationship with them, but I think it's just because he's a nice guy. And there's definitely something weird going on between Schwartz and Jax, and they've got secrets on each other. And this is like a friendship of, you know, like, our backs to the wall, our guns behind our backs, but, like, we're smiling at each other, you know, that sort of thing. And now we all know the truth that Sandoval might be the slipperiest dick of them all. Jax was right, unfortunately. And now I'm just like, at this point, Schwartz, you're like, I actively don't want to live with you. I hated you up until 5 minutes ago. He just told him last episode, Sandoval, I was so mad at you until the San Francisco air hit my face and we hopped on that Southwest flight. I'm so mad at you, but also, I'm gonna get down on one knee like a little fucking bitch, cuck bitch, and propose to you with some pink, whack-ass handcuffs. Let's be neighbors. Let's be roomies with each other. Like, y'all really think that this is gonna be cute? Ain't shit cute about it. It's not. So his bitch ass, that blonde bitch. I don't think that Sandoval's a trash person. He's a good person. He did like a trash thing. And Ariana goes, one trash thing? A very trash thing. Are you seriously saying that? And she goes, you need to watch it. Okay, you need to watch what table you're at if you want to talk about him like that. You can leave. A thing? He's subhuman. He's like, no, just like a bad thing. Like, Schwartz in this moment is not getting that the bad thing that he's saying is that Sandoval only did one bad thing. And he keeps like being like, yeah, just like a bad thing. And she keeps getting more and more mad because it's not clicking to him. It's not just one bad thing, you dummy. Dummy. So then Lala says in a confessional, Ariana tries to put off this cool girl vibe, but she cares a lot. Oh. Oh. You? I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I can't wait to get into your ass, Lauren, about somebody who tries to put off a cool girl vibe who when they actually care a lot. That's so interesting. That is so interesting coming from you, Miss Blackfish. Miss, I try to benefit off of black culture when it's good for me. Miss, I want to sit here and do this weird fucking cycle that I've been doing for years of I'm the victim of my own situation. What are you talking about? This Mucinex monster behind me? That's not, I don't know him. He definitely isn't married with children with that girl from season one of you. What, huh? Do you want to sign a quick NDA? I did not try to ask anybody to sign an NDA. Y'all are crazy. Oh, real hot for me. I actually think I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave for like a season and come back. And come back when it's convenient for me. And then I'm going to pretend like, oh, this is Randall, y'all. Y'all want to play pickleball and hop on the PJ? Oh, we love him. We have the best relationship ever. We are fucking George and Amal. Okay? Oh, and then all this man that bought me, that leased me out a Range Rover 27 hours after meeting him, didn't seem weird to you at all? Okay. Threatening to pop people when you're from Utah. Asking like, I don't understand why Ariana doesn't get out of this situation. You wouldn't understand because you've never had to deal with an issue with finances. You hopped from whatever trust fund you got from your family, as you said in a reunion, you come from money, never had to worry about it, never been an issue. Parents pay your rent. You know where you're sleeping at night every night. Never an issue. Why can't she just move? Oh, that's the thinking of somebody who's so out of sorts. But you want to be like, oh, I'm going to get a coffin nail and ask people, you want to get popped? And I'm associated with Tupac. Bitch, I've been waiting for you, dummy. Stop trying to profit off of black culture. Take the black scent away. I don't want you getting all puffing in your chest about no shit. I don't want to hear anything. I don't hear it. Be white. Be white. Okay? Just be white. You care so much. You care so much. You're on Amazon Live after podcast, after Amazon Live, after podcast, for weeks now, talking some version of like, we're all going to see the truth and then we're all dummies and I don't want to talk about it. And I texted my team to not tell me anything about what anybody says. I don't care. And you know what? I don't want to talk about this. And after this, I'm going to be so done. Blah, blah, blah. And nobody wants to talk about the show and nobody wants to bleed out for the show with me, but I actually don't care. But I do. And I don't care. I'm pregnant. But I don't care. I don't care. And fuck these guys. Fuck y'all. Fuck the homies, okay? Fuck y'all. Telling us, oh, I'm not going to discuss this show until the season three or the part three of the reunion comes out. And I hope by then y'all got your fucking rabies shots. Rabies bitches. Okay, girl. Okay. Let's see if we get to Friday before she cries again. I'm waiting to see it. I'd love to see it. We all would. And then Lala goes on to say that when Ariana gets out of this Sandoval's a monster, Ariana's a victim mentality, she's going to have to go through a mourning process. And I just don't think she wants to deal with that. Okay, well, what do you mean by that? who cares? Katie says, Brooke, you don't know my whole experience with Sandoval. And he's like, I don't know any of y'all's whole experience with him. I wasn't there. I'm defending my wife. To which Ariana says, but so is Katie. And Lala then tries to say, well, yeah, you're just defending your wife. But Katie says, you need to defend your wife to people who actually deserve it, not me. I'm not the fucking one. You might be a little bit, but in this case, I'm going to let you cook, okay? Because you haven't really liked her historically, Katie, and that's true. That's honestly true. But, like, in this case, you are correct, mostly. But we should be honest about that. Anyway, back at the hotel, Joe's eating popcorn shrimp with her legs kicked up on the couch. Schwartzy's like, oh, Joe, your door's wide open. She's like, yeah, that's just me. That's just Joe. And then they're over at Joseph, robot noising at each other. She's like, can you iron my dress? And just the look of terror in his face, like, do I have to? And it was just a silent thing because we know Joe knows how to iron. You know, she can get it together. Honestly, the thing didn't really look that wrinkled. And he's like, oh, she's trying to trap me into some sort of, like, boyfriend experience shit. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So he's like, do I have to? And she's like, yeah, I don't know how. And so he goes over there. And then on the way to the iron, he looks at her and he goes, Joseph, are you wearing makeup? You guys, I would jump right off the bridge. He says in the confessional, Joe wears makeup about as much as I wear suits. So then he says, whenever she would like put on lipstick around him, it was like a little girl taking it from her mom and just like smearing it on her face. Oh my God. Oh my God, Joseph. I would die if somebody said that about me on national television. Forever. Forever. Oh, God, I bet the sex that they have is so weird. And I don't mean, like, physically. I mean, like, emotionally. Like, the air in the room must be so weird. You know, like, how is this? Like, he desexualizes her. He calls her Joseph. He is like, ew, you're trying to be, like any attempt of her being feminine. Because you know that she put that makeup on thinking, like, this was going to be her she's all that moment where the glasses are off, the hair's down, and the guy that she's been pining for finally looks over at her. She's perfect. She's got this dress on, and he's like, you're the one. I'm not going to call you Joseph again. I'm going to call you Joe, and I'm going to kiss you. That's what she thinks is going to happen. And what he did was tell her that she looked like a child in a confessional. Kikiing with his little buddies in production. Damn. You know what? I'm about to do the robot myself out of this situation. Can't talk about it anymore. Gotta move on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. As we all know, when it comes to everyone's business, I like to mention it all, but when it comes to mine, I like to keep things a little bit closer to the chest. But that method doesn't always work when it comes to your mental health, and we all need a way to purge and get it out. Therapy is a safe space to do that and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down by learning positive coping skills and all the tools you need to help you be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So you can just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/everyone's business today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/everyone's business. Let's go back to Sheena and Brock's room. They're at the hotel, right? He surprises her with, like, he made somebody at the front desk do a, you know, girl, just get some 18 petals, do a little heart shape on the bed. She's got a performance tonight, okay? I want to make it special for my girl. Brock basically used this as another excuse to try to get Sheena to see how much of a great friend Sandoval is, even though she's telling him, I had this talk with Ariana. I think it went really well. I think she was receptive. You know, she wasn't. But fine for Sheena for thinking that. Then Lisa FaceTimes Sheena. She tells her, I had this conversation with Sandoval. Sheena's like, or Lisa's rather, look, Sheena, you've had a long history there. Let me ask you a question. Do you still love him? Ma'am, she's married. Sheena's like, yeah. Well, there's your answer. So then Schwartz goes into Tom's room. He's full of popcorn shrimp that he stole from Joe. Really, like, very poetic situation. He goes into the room and says, I'm so full, I can't possibly eat it. But you know what? I'm going to take all of your shit. That tastes real good. Okay, bye. So then he goes into Schwartz's room, or Sandoval's room. And he's like, oh, I got to meet Dan and, like, talk. Like, he's fucking great, man. And Sandoval's like, yeah, well, Ariana's got great taste in men. So Schwartz tells him about this conversation with Sheena. And he's like, you know, it went really good. And, you know, I told her, she told me about maybe apologizing for weaponizing Ariana's mental health. And then Sandoval says in a confessional, I'm not looking for us to be like friends, just to calm down the whole tension between me and Ariana. And then he tells Schwartz this performative bullshit that Schwartz knows is performative bullshit about how I just want to cut the tension. And like, maybe if we get a little bit of time, like a few weeks or months or like maybe even decades from now, if Ariana was to call me, like, I'll always be there for her. Like, always, always, man. And Schwartz just has to look at him and be like, yeah, decades. I think you might be, out of those options, decades might be the one. Okay? And just laughs at him. Because what else are you going to do? When a clown makes a joke like that in your face, you laugh. You have to chuckle. Back to Lala. She tells Katie in their room, they're getting ready, that there's all this pressure on Sheena right now. And it's almost like she's kind of looking for some sort of approval from Ariana. And Katie says, but Ariana's not going to be like, oh, Sheena, I really support this, you know, reunion between you and Sandoval. I think you've got this beautiful friendship. And Lala's like, but I don't think that's what she's looking for. I think she's looking for Ariana to say, you know what? I acknowledge the fact that you guys have this long relationship. If you feel like you need to work something out with him, just do it, you know? Things aren't going to change between you and I. And Katie says, but I don't think that's what's going to happen at this point. And Sheena says, or Lala says, but that's my point. That's what Sheena's feeling. So then Lala's like, well, that's the thing. You know, if there's somebody who's got this great life and she's got these mad rules for people. And Katie's like, I don't think it's about rules. It's a bit of a nuanced situation. And Katie says in a confessional, Sheena feels like she should be the exception to this boundary that Ariana has created for herself. I'm not wanting to have mutual friends with Tom, you know? But Tom did not make one mistake. He made choices every day, over and over, for months. He has done nothing but double down on those choices that he made over and over. So she tells Lala, listen, if that's the kind of friend that Sheena wants, somebody who's going to dump on her and be shitty to her eventually, then go for it. Speaking of Sheena, she goes to do a sound check. And Tom's there, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Oh, here's my friend, Sheena. She's like, oh, his is. And she realizes that Tom used his Southwest points to fly this guy up to San Francisco. And she goes, this is a Tom that I remember. Someone who does things like this. This is a person that I knew for 15 years. But that's just me. Making it about me. And then she sips her drink like that meant something. Like, oh, that you got us, girl. Like, yeah. Like, you're not in on the joke with us about you making things about yourself. We still very much feel that way. It's not like you winking at the camera is going to change that, girl. You're not. You're not getting us on that one. It's actually true at this point. So now Sheena's so fucking hype that she gets to cosplay Gwen Stefani, right? Waxing poetic about how this is the first time in all of her performances that she's had a full band of dudes behind her. Because usually her performances are, you know, her taking a couple shots of tequila and getting up on the bar at Sir. Flashback to her doing Good as Gold in some, like, Vanessa Hudgens sneaker night wedges while Christina Kelly's panning the room like, are y'all seeing this? And honestly, it was worth it, if only for that. So everybody pulls up to this old, renewed bank vault for Kyle Chan's whiskey release, right? James and Allie have the scene outside where we're just wrapping up loose ends with them. Let's be real. I love you. I love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. I'm obsessed with you. Allie's telling him, I'm not ready to get married now, but when I am, it's you, babe. You know, James, like, you're the love of my life. I know that I've been acting like a hippie is a priority, but it's you. You light my earth. You walk. I'm walking the path, okay? The wild thing for me is that James says in a confessional that he had a plan for his life, like many of us do, right? You think when you're younger, oh, 26 is such an adult. I'm going to be married by 26. I'm going to have a kid by 28. I'm going to do this. I saw what my parents did. And that's what he said. My dad had a kid at 28, you know? And then he kind of gets emotional about, like, how he really feels the pressure to walk in his dad's footsteps. And I'm just thinking, like, your dad? Like, no shade, but, like, London gangster? That guy? You know what? Let me move on. James says, you know, I would tell the younger James that you're going to go through a lot of shit before somebody makes you happy. And, you know, again, pressure for your dad. Okay, we're going on. So Joe shows up to this event, right? And she says in a confessional, I do really love Schwartz and I think we make an amazing team and I would like to be together and it breaks my heart. But what am I supposed to do? Just sit in my bed and cry? At the end of the day, I want him in my life for the rest of my life. So Schwartz tells Joe, oh, I'm so glad you came, Joseph. And he points over to Katie and Lala at a table. They're like sitting in a little VIP section. Little roped off, little couches. Like it's in the middle of this vault. It's not super private. We're working with the space, okay? But he's pointing over there like, do you want to go over there? To the lion's den. And Joe's like, I really don't want that negative energy. So I just kind of avoid it. I kind of avoid all of them. And he's like, who, Katie? Don't do this. You know, the one who called her spooky, yes. The one who said she had crackhead tendencies, yes. Your ex-wife, Katie. Her. The one, that's why you said, do you want to go in the lion's den? Because you know. Duh. Oh, it's so irky that he does that. It's so rude. Because at the core, it's just like, you're, again, doing what you have been doing to Katie this whole time that we've seen you on the show, is being like, I don't understand where are you having all these emotions from, but also forcing her to confront these emotions, but then acting like, huh? What? And like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You're never going to win against Tom Schwartz. What either is going to happen is he's going to put you in this situation where you're either going to him be the bitch like he does to Katie all the time because she stands up for herself, or he's going to leave you shuffling off to the bathroom to cry with, like, and maybe in, like, 5 minutes be like, oh, where's Joseph? Huh? Joe, are you okay? Maybe he'll give you, like, a little bit of empathy. Maybe if you play your cards right, he might fuck you. But, like, it's not going to be good. Man, it's going to be very emotionally tense. You're probably going to be crying most. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the emotions in the sex are what is very off-putting to me. So Joe says in a confessional, this sweet summer child, I'm hoping that Katie apologizes to me. I hope I'll apologize to her, and I'm really hoping she'll say it to me back. And then she says, I don't know if Katie hates me because of Schwartz and my connection, but I feel like you could date a tree and she'd chop it down. Like, good luck to the next woman. No, girl, it's specifically because you're about to find out. So Brad by Brad is like, oh, look, our favorite cracked out person, as she walks up, and he makes a beeline for it. Just him in the yellow suit. We're out of here. So Schwartz does this thing like, oh, look, you know Joe, obviously. And Joseph, do you want to say something? And Joe's like, well, I just want to say sorry if I ever hurt you. And Katie goes, sorry if. sorry, if. And Joe goes, yeah. And so Katie has to be like, it's not a sorry if, it's just sorry. And so Joe's like, okay, I'm really sorry. And Katie goes, yeah, it's weird. You're weird. And at this point, Lala's like, okay, girl, let's not do that. And then Katie's like, okay, well, no, sorry. Joe then looks at Katie and says, well, do you feel like you owe me an apology? And Katie says, no. And so Joe goes, I sent you a genuine text about your divorce, and I meant that. Now, I have a couple questions that I've been wondering. I tweeted, okay, is Bieber like an animal? Who's Bieber? And a couple of you guys were like, no, I think she genuinely means Justin Bieber because Katie might be a fan of his. You're speaking on behalf of Justin Bieber in a text message, and you're acting like this was like the greatest olive branch, the greatest kindness that you could have done. Justin Bieber loves you. Like, you're 11. Like, this would be like you texting me being like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas loves you and I do too. Like, what? Y'all, this whole time I was assuming that Bieber was like a chihuahua that Joe had or something, and that she was like, oh, like Katie had a connection with Bieber and it was like, oh, me and Bieber really love you. That made more sense, but you're telling me that this might actually be, ooh. So anyway, Katie tells Joe, yeah, you sent me that text and then suddenly you moved in and you were like asking if you'd stay with Tom. And so Lala has to translate this to Joe. What Katie is saying is that the way you moved is kind of like you're texting, I'm sorry, 1 minute, and then you're moving in with Schwartz the next minute. And now they're trying to get off on technicalities. I never moved in with Joe. We never lived together. Okay. But Lala goes, okay, it doesn't matter. You guys still had sex. And then you're texting Katie like, oh, I'm so sorry about your divorce. Joe says, well, there were months in between all of that. Like, okay, months. Okay. Okay. And I just wish that I would have had the space to explain that to you, Katie. I feel really bad about that. So Katie says, I feel like you always were just waiting for your moment with Schwartz. And Lala goes, well, I don't know if I believe that. Joe says, that's not even close to true. Off to the side, Ariana is trying to explain to Dan, Schwartz keeps bringing this girl around Katie. And Dan's like, I don't even know who that is. And Ariana goes, you know, it's a long story. So now I'm seeing exactly why Joe and Schwartz belong together. It's not the robot noises, not the beep, bop, boop, boop, Joseph, blah, 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 of it all. It's the way that they get off on, like, being immature, that they can minimize people's feelings, go around doing whatever the fuck they want, be selfish, and then come back and be like, I don't know what the problem is. I'm trying to do peace and love and be cool, and here you are trying to hold me accountable for my actions when I'm just trying to be nice to you. Huh? I only stayed at his house for like a couple of weeks or whatever. And now Katie's having to be like, stay with somebody else. Stay with anybody else, Joe. And now this goofy who's been on Instagram Live, Joe has been on Instagram Live for weeks, much like Lala, weeks, talking to people in the comments, like professing her love for Tom, talking about them fucking and how he gave her orgasms. I don't know why Katie's talking about how his dick doesn't work, because it definitely worked for me. I love him so much. Yeah, we're not together now, but we're definitely going to be together. Man, he's got a whole ass, albeit, what is she, like 23-year-old girlfriend or however old she is. He's still in a full relationship and it's not with you. And you're telling his ex-wife, let it go. I was just a sneaky link. Crashing with him every now and again. Fucking him. You're telling her to let it go? But now how you're behaving now, ma'am, in like 2024. Being like, he's my soulmate. I know we're going to be together. But also you said something that really stuck with me in one of your Instagram lives about him. You had done a post on Instagram and you were like asking Tom to allow you to change his settings so that you could tag him. You're telling his ex-wife to let it go. You can't even tag him on Instagram. Do you see how that sounds? At this point, Katie is now in the position of having to dig into Joe's ass and explain how goofy it is to be texting somebody and then moving in with the ex-husband in the midst of them still trying to untangle their relationship. Like, they're still actively getting a divorce. So Joe goes, well, I just wasn't thinking about you. I was thinking about myself. And Katie says, well, as a woman, you could have thought about me. So now Schwartz is like, oh, Katie, ease up a little bit. She just came over to make peace. And Katie's like, I don't want peace. I don't want peace. So now Joey was going off to cry. And Schwartz is like, Katie, she just feels really uncomfortable. And Katie's like, I don't actually give a fuck how she feels. I told you this. I told you if you want to be friends with me, keep her away from me. And so he's like, well, I don't want ultimatums, Katie. And she's like, it's not an ultimatum. Just keep her away from me. There you go. Then we get this bullshit scene of Brock telling Tom that he and Sheena are in the middle, but we're not Switzerland. And he's like, you know, I really appreciate the man. Like, I don't really get that stuff like this often. So now Sheena's saying in a confessional, like, I understand what he did to Ariana was absolutely terrible. I just wish that when it came to me in this situation, it just, like, wasn't so black and white. And she could see how much I'm struggling by trying to just be loyal to her. And I don't want to lose her, but I feel like I'm losing myself. I just need to let this shit go. It's enough. Let it go then. You can do that. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's stopping you, babe. So then Schwartz goes over to say hi to Dan. They're in like another VIP section. Schwartz says hi to Dan. Ariana and Dan are there and Allie. James is like on the ones and twos. He's spinning, okay? Schwartz is like, oh, Ariana, what are you guys doing afterwards? And she's like, I think we're going to Applebee's. Like, I'm all about the Applebee's life right now. So then Sandoval starts using this as a moment to slither up. Ariana sees him. She's like, oh, I'm not doing this right now. She can see what's about to happen. So Sandoval tries to go in on Schwartz first and be like, oh, hey, man. Like make a conversation with him. Like, oh, this is so natural. Oh, how are you doing, man? Like, good? Oh, okay. Just one second. I'm going to talk to Dan. And so he goes up. It's like so awkward because it's just them, like the five of them. Allie's watching this kind of out the corner of her eye, but trying to look at her phone and is like, what the fuck is going on? So Sandoval's like, oh, hey, what's up, Dan? Like, I just heard you're a really nice guy and I just wish you guys the best of luck. And so Dan's like, uh-huh, I appreciate that. He's like, okay, well, have a nice night, man. He's like, mm-hmm. So then after this, Allie's like, are you guys okay? What's happening? And Schwartz is uncomfortable. He's now getting up like, I think I should leave. I think I should leave. So Allie's asking Ariana, how was that, you guys? How do you feel? And Ariana's like, well, I knew that was going to happen. You know? And Allie says, well, yeah, I kind of feel like it had to happen. And Ariana's like, actually really didn't. He's not in my life. He's my ex. And then Ariana says in a confessional, I don't want to be a cog in the machine of Tom Sandoval's redemption arc. Y'all can do that without me. So then Schwartz tries to tell Sandoval, I know you were like planning on talking to Ariana, but I don't know if it's the right time with Dan here. And Sandoval's like, no, it's cool. And he's like, yeah, I don't think it's the right time. I don't think so. So in the extended version, y'all saw before the season came out, there was like a bunch of video about this attack, some random attack on Tom Sandoval. So it's in the extended version on Peacock. So at first what happens is James is doing a DJ set. They're in this VIP section. And it's like, you know, just very much giving zoo animal, right? Because it's like all the cast, most of the cast is there dancing in front of James in the DJ booth. And everybody's just watching them, right? So this guy in his tacky gold jacket walks up and he's clearly fucking wasted. And he's doing this thing where he's the obnoxious guy who is so wasted and he will not listen to anybody, but he's trying to like play it cool. So he's trying to ease his way into the VIP section by like dancing, and he's grabbing a bottle of La Marca Prosecco off the table and is like trying to be like, hey guys. And then he grabs one of Kyle Chan's whiskey bottles and tries to like do this thing like, oh, Katie, like he went to Katie of all people to be like, oh, like I'm gonna pour a shot in your mouth. And she's not having it. I'm loving this version of the fourth wall break because we very rarely see them address the fact that anytime they're going to the Disneyland over that is West Hollywood, Vanderpump Pumps or, you know, Tom Tom, whatever, that they're being watched by people, that there are paparazzi outside as they're making their walk into the restaurant, that like people are clearly just going there to watch James, that see you next Tuesday, and they're going to see any sort of tea that they can put on Reddit. Like, we know this, right? But they never address it. But now hearing them be like, God, we hate when this happens. I love that. Like, it happens to us all the time. I don't like this. I was living for that. That was the fourth wall break of Lala that I was appreciating. Like, I would really love to know, how often are you guys going out in places and having to, like, say something over again, or, like, stop a conversation because somebody's trying to have a moment in the background, or, like, trying to run up on y'all and, like, you know, ruin the whole scene? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, how often does this happen? Because I bet it's quite a bit, especially now, right? So they're letting this dude do this. And then they kind of have a security guy. Oh, first, he sits in one of the chairs. There's like a single chair in this section, and he's trying to steal people's drinks. So James, who's behind the DJ booth, is like, Brock, get this guy out of the section. So Brock is like, oh, mate, I'm just going to sit in this chair here. Like, you can go sit over there, right? Like, just I'm going to sit where you're sitting. I'm going to sit here. And I need you out. Like, very chill about it, right? So he gets out of this section. It's just, like, roped off. Like, I really want to stress that it's just, like, in the middle. It's just loose. Just a loose little VIP section. Just some velvet ropes around it. So they get him out of the section. And now Lala and Katie and Allie are just watching. Because there's a security guy who's, like, made a circumference around the this VIP section. And the guy just keeps trying to, like, Red Rover his way out of it. So we're just, like, he's, like, chasing him around the circumference. I was like, oh my God, what's going on? The dudes are like hands locked together. Like, Lyle's like, oh my God, he's fighting him. And then this dude grabs a vase. I'm assuming it's like a vase full of flowers. They always see it's just like a thing of water. It smacks up against his security guy like nothing, like just shatters against this big ass dude. For whatever reason, Sandoval's like trying to break up the fight between security man and random dude with this ugly gold jacket. There seems to be another thing of water that goes up in the air. Glass is breaking. So now one entirely other dude, I don't know what happened to the security guard. There's now the 5'4" guest of Kyle Chan's who's now got ugly gold jacket and a bear hug. Ugly gold jacket's got a chair. And Sandoval's on the other side of jacket trying to take the chair from him. It's melee, a complete melee. And I just like to state, once again, we're in season 10. This is another performance of Sheena's that proves my theory. I don't think we've had in this entire series a performance of Sheena's that has not ended in somebody fighting, somebody getting kicked out of somewhere. Has it happened? I really don't think it happened. Where her tooth hasn't almost been compromised. She's almost broken an ankle. Jax has taken it to the forehead. Water everywhere. It's never happened. Not even her wedding. Her wedding ignited the continuation of an affair. We didn't even know. Schwartz is making out with the same woman. We didn't even know. We didn't even. This is the shit that she needs to be complaining about. Y'all don't let me have one moment without somebody fighting. This is the part that you need to be like, why can't you guys make it about me? Why can't I perform good as cold in this fucking C-3PO ex JoJo Siwa outfit without some peace? Low-key, I was going to tell Sheena in this episode that, like, maybe we retire the gold. I think maybe this season we let it go. However, her birthday was yesterday, and she did say in the caption, I'm turning 39, and I'm going to retire the gold at 40. Which, okay, that's a compromise I can work with, okay? So then we get to she's performing Apples. We're all having a great time. Sandoval's having this revelation about how it's just so great to see Sheena get back on the horse with the music and really find her connection. And then we get to the good as gold screamo version. Sheena rips off her tutu, throws it into the crowd. Ariana puts it around her waist. Oh my God. Sheena, again, Tom really stepped up and helped us out even when he didn't have to. So hopefully he continues down this path, but only time will tell. Yeah, exactly. So then Sheena, they're done with the performance. It's great. Or whatever. And they're backstage and Sheena's like, hey, I don't know if you guys were like drinking last night or we were like too drunk, but am I in the band? And they're like, are you? She's like, I am. Are we going on tour? They're like, yeah, yeah. She's like, great, I'm in the band. I don't think she's in the band, you guys, but whatever. So then Ariana goes up to Sheena. It's like, I just want to hug you. You killed it. Your performance was great. And the first thing Sheena says is, do you know who Hassan is? Sandoval's sound guy? No, I don't, Sheena. And so Sheena's like, well, he flew out a sound manager person to get all this equipment and, like, you know, I don't know, like, fool me once, fool me twice. I don't know, but I've just seen that genuine side of him that I've loved for 15 years and the guy that was a good friend to me, and I'm just hoping he's changing and becoming better. Just, like, the same shit over and over again. Same shit. And Ariana says in a confessional, I don't know why she thinks that somehow she knows this man better than I do, but all right, girl. Happy for you. So Sheena tells her, I just want to see if he was on a path. And Ariana cuts her off and says, can I just ask you one thing? I don't want to talk about a path of growth. He's my ex-boyfriend. He does not deserve to be in my presence and breathe the same air with me. And that will not change. And so Sheena's like, well, it's hard because I feel like you say no contact, but like you want different apologies from him. Something that Ariana's never said. And she says it. I don't want no apologies. Okay. I don't want him to speak to me ever again. And so Sheena goes, but when I said that I apologize for things that I said on my podcast, you were like, well, when am I going to get an apology? And Ariana has to be like, okay, I didn't mean I literally wanted him to apologize to me. I mean, like, when am I going to get an apology? As in, he's never going to apologize to me. Like, I don't want any apologies, Sheena. And Sheena says, okay, well, that's fine. I just don't want to ever lose you and, like, compromise our friendship. And I'll always have your back. And I just feel like I can't completely write him off forever. So then Ariana says in a confessional, I will protect myself and I'll keep myself out of situations that I find hurtful or uncomfortable for me. But I've never once said that I don't love Sheena or that I'm going to stop loving her or that we're not going to be connected anymore. And then they play this montage where for the past couple of months, Ariana has said people who are close to him won't get any contact or access to me. There won't be any access via mutual friends between him and me. Not going to happen. And I will, in fact, cut people off. So they hug and Sheena's like, well, I just don't want to lose you. And Ariana says, you'll never lose me. Never. And I don't know. I feel like the productions were like, oh, this is a gotcha moment, but it wasn't for me. Anyway, so as Ariana is trying to tell Sheena, you're not going to lose me. You're my family. Here's a shark comes circling around their little table and he just walks up and is trying to be like, okay, bye. Good to have Sheena. Even though he already had the conversation with her backstage. Performance. So Ariana turns around immediately, walks away, and he's like, no, wait, Sheena, like, Ariana, like, 1 second, please. And so he is following her after her for a couple steps, but Sheena's yelling him, like, Tom, no, like, please stop. So Tom goes over to Sheena's like, well, I just want to tell her I'm sorry. And she's like, she doesn't want to talk to you. I already tried. It's not happening. So then they start breaking the fourth wall again. Because the producer, Jeremiah, is trying to stop Ariana and Dan from leaving. And Ariana is telling Jeremiah, he is trying to walk on me talking to Sheena. He doesn't give a fuck if I fucking died in a ditch or I got a deadly STD the way he was fucking around behind my back. That is non-informed consent. And he does not get access to me. So back to Sheena. She's telling Sandoval, I told her about our conversation last night and she thinks you're performative and that I'm an idiot. And so Tom goes, oh, you know what's funny? That she knows me well enough to know that I'm not. And so Sheena goes, well, what do I mean to you? And Tom says, you mean a lot. She goes, because of the show or because of life? And Tom says, I'm here. I show up, you know? Like, well, that didn't answer the question. That wasn't what she asked you. So that was your answer. I show up. Do you care about me? I show up. I'm here. That wasn't the answer that she wanted. So Sheena says, don't make me look like a fucking idiot, Tom. She walks away. So now he's mad at her. He starts getting upset. This is fucking bullshit. So, of course, here comes Captain Save-A-Ho, Billy Lee. Tom, are you okay? Are you okay? And he's like, dude, Ariana's going around saying I'm not being honest and I'm performative. You know what that is? Ariana's fucking performative. She doesn't like any of these motherfuckers. So now she can fuck off saying that I'm performative. How do we not see it? This is exactly what he does. How do we not see it? back to Ariana. Jeremiah is trying to tell her, don't end it like this. And she's like, this is about a performance for the audience. He wants 30 seconds with the audience. And then she says in that confessional, whatever Tom is trying to get from me, it's not for me, it's for him. I'm the final boss in his video game of redemption. And because he can't get to the final boss, he's fucking pissed. So then she and Dan are hand in hand, giving their mic packs to Jeremiah. And they're like, listen, I'm going to call a lift. And they're bouncing. They're out. Okay. So now Tom is ranting. If you don't want to film with your ex, like, don't be on the show. Seriously. Don't be, sit back on your fucking lazy ass and collect a fucking check for doing fucking nothing. And so then he goes over to this section where Jeremiah is standing there with Schwartz and Lala and Sheena. He's like, I'm fucking pissed. Like, not at you guys, because Ariana, she doesn't fuck with you guys. Like, on the real. Like, she fucking talks shit about all you fuckers. She doesn't own up for shit. She's not going to come to your fucking things. I'm going to come. When push shove comes to shove, I'm fucking there, dude. And so Sheena's like, I know I said this to her. And he's like, oh, okay, sorry, like, sorry, Sheena. And so Sheena's like, well, this is why I'm struggling, because you have been a good fucking friend. But she convinces me that you're not. And so Tom's like, you know, I'm sorry that I made it hard for you. I mean, it just kills me, you know? Because I know you put up a lot with me, and, like, that means a lot to me. And he tries to hug her, but it's like, get real. Then he says in a confessional, I know it's got to be hard for these people who stick up for me. Like, these people still haven't even forgiven me. Like, they're just recognizing that, like, I'm a person. And they're still going to get a lot of hate for that. And then up pop a bunch of, like, tweets, I guess, of people saying things like, oh, how can Lala claim to be softer, quote unquote, when she's, you know, giving this psycho cheater a second chance while talking trash about your best friends and their business. Like, I can't take any more of Sheena's tears. Why doesn't she have any tears for Ariana? Does she have a crush on Sandoval? That sort of thing, right? So Ariana's like outside, she's her friends, bad by bad, Dan's there, Megan's there. They're like, all right, where are we going? Let's go to Applebee's, girl. They're like, absolutely. We're headed to our neighborhood bar and grill. So after that, Lala does something that I'm going to call empty calories, okay? So she's like in this circle with Jeremiah and Sheena Schwartz. I've been biting my tongue because it's very hard to do this. And Tom's like, you're afraid. She's like, no, I'm not afraid. It's just a lot of fourth wall breaking, but I'm going to do it now. This thing happened to her. The whole world rallied around her, but now she thinks she's Beyonce. It's bullshit that she can't film with somebody that she stays under the same roof with. It's a lot that she's saying, don't fuck with Tom Sandoval, but I'm going to stay down the hall. Like, I get it. You fucking cheated. It was weird how you looked at it all in the fucking eye and said a lot of shit, but he did not kill somebody. So Sheena goes, I'm going to back you out there. It is unfair. I'm sorry. Pause. Break. Brighton Park. Brighton Park. Turn the car off, girl. Who are you? You, up until two episodes ago, were like, everything in my life runs on Randall. Every interaction that I have with a man, I'm allowed to bark in his face and question anything about him because of how Randall treated me. It doesn't even matter if I'm not in a relationship with this man. Doesn't matter if, you know, like, I'm, all things through Randall run through me, and I can dictate how I can be mean as shit to people because of it. But now you're gonna see, like, he didn't kill anybody. What he did was so bad. And even though I can perfectly articulate how he lied to us, and I've really never had a friendship with him, and he's not a good person, he didn't murder anybody. He's just a pathological liar, narcissist, piece of shit. So what's the problem, Ariana? So then Lala starts screaming about, Ariana moved on 8 days later. And Sheena's like, I agree with you. And I want you to know that you're not alone in that. So then Lala's like, never in my life have I experienced somebody who gets cheated on. And then suddenly she becomes God, okay? And that was supposed to be me. And because it wasn't, I'm going to make sure that it's not happening for Ariana either. And then we get this montage of what I'm assuming is like everybody from the cast sitting down for their first confessionals, right? We're fresh-faced, not a lick of filler, the innocence of people who don't know that they're about to spend a decade or more of their life backstabbing each other for a check, you know? A different time. all the moments throughout the show where Tom and Kristen are crying at each other. Katie's on the sidewalk with her bad blonde hair, fighting her for her life with, like, Christina, Kelly, and Stassi, who are having a garage sale on the street. You know, Katie and Tom's wedding. Him being horrible to her on that Mexico trip that they went on the balcony. It's not about the pasta. All the hits, right? So she's like, you know, this is the most dramatic music you could possibly imagine playing. There's a lot that comes with being on camera, and you have to be truthful, even when it's extremely uncomfortable. I live authentic. Oh, where's that footage? I live authentic. Sheena has. Tom and Katie. I feel like I have, but there was a time that I was not honest about what was going on in my life. Yeah, this episode. Every episode, you've not been honest about your life. But I don't feel like Tom and Ariana were honest about their relationship until Tom got caught cheating. And you think that you're just going to be honest for one moment and then you get to pack it all away and it's all good. Fuck that. And you know what? You know what I did? I laughed so hard. I giggled. Because empty calories, girl. She thought she was going to give us a whole app menu from Applebee's. We were going to get the sliders. We were going to get some wings. We were going to get even carrots. You know, a hearty, hot, crisp mozzarella stick. And what we got was celery, empty calories. She thought she was giving us a whole fucking poo-poo platter. And it was some bullshit. You thought you ate so bad. You thought you ate so bad. And we're not, I'm not getting anything. Just water. Just water from the celery. You're so funny. You're so funny. Lala, not at any point have you or Sheena had to film with your exes. As soon as y'all were done with them, the only time y'all had to talk about them or deal with them was like an occasional scene that was within your control on the show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That is very different from what Ariana is dealing with. You also, before 2 seasons ago, made everybody go on the rooftop of your apartment and say, if you ever associate with him, my ex, Randall, that I can't deal with you. And I understand that there were legal implications. There is a custody situation to it. However, you still, off camera, were trying to dictate what happened on camera. Okay? You lost your shit when you found out Schwartz played pickleball with him. So, okay, Sheena, as soon as you gave Mike the Ford Explorer and that, like, couch with the built-in cup holders, he was gone. We never had to talk about him again. And I know that Shay probably had to film a couple scenes here and there, but not really. Not really. He filmed them with the dudes, and that was it. And we got to keep pushing. Nobody forced Ariana never had to film a scene with Sheena being like, you know what, I really like Mike Shay, and, like, I would like to hang out with in the studio with him and do all these, like, rap rock beats. I want to be in the studio dropping beats with him. He's a really nice guy. He was so nice to me. He gave me an eighth one time, you know? He was really kind. So, and you're talking at the eighth hour, the last day, the last few moments of filming, Ariana decides, I'm not gonna give y'all this moment where I, like, pretend to give my ex-boyfriend an ounce of grace. I'm not gonna do that. And she wants to go into a whole monologue because Ariana decided to go to Applebee's. She's ruining this show. ruining this show. So Katie, the only adult in the fucking room, says in a confessional, sometimes you have to stick to your fucking boundaries. If your life is more important, fucking stand your ground. And then Ariana says, we've lived all of these difficult parts of our lives on camera, but if it's something that really matters to you, you would do it anyways. He never tried to talk to me off camera. He could have written something. He could have written a letter and left it on the counter so I could have read it at my leisure. But he didn't do that. So to only want to do it on TV, it just shows your true colors. So what the crazy thing is like, Lala wants to wave this flag of Ariana's being inauthentic because she won't stand in she won't film a scene. And to me, that's inauthentic. But Ariana's living her actual real life, in which it would be authentic, inauthentic for her to give this man a scene when he doesn't give a fuck, and she knows it. And you expect her to dead ass look him in the eye and give him a moment to redeem himself when she knows he does not care. That is crazy. That's the real life. I'm getting a mozzarella stick with my besties. I'm going to dig into some complex carbs, and I'm not dealing with this greasy-faced idiot trying to redeem himself through me. That's reality. What's not clicking with you, Lala? Girl, get the fuck. Ariana spent this entire season being around Sandoval, and she popped off on him, and she reacted, and she's giving you guys moments, and every time she gave you guys moments, you were like, whoa, chill the fuck out. Calm down, girl. And now, 4 minutes, y'all got 4 minutes left of filming, and she's like, I'm good. And now everything is shot to shit. Everything that she's done this season is over. She's being a completely inauthentic woman because she won't give you what you want because you want to continue this show in the way that you think is successful. And I'm telling you, the events of this season were a weird German water guy who was like, here's some water that tastes like cum. Yoga. And a sperm party? That's what you think the future of the show is? Okay. Real interesting to me. Real interesting. So the episode ends with Ariana and her friends hopping off to get some damn mozzarella sticks, as they should. And we see the skyline of San Francisco. And then we just see words, like captions, is like, off-camera conversation. Producer says that's the end. He's clearly talking to Schwartz and Sandoval. And Schwartz is like, wow, that was a fucking plot twist. And Sandoval says, I love it. It's good for me. And then he just starts cackling like a witch bitch that he is. Ooh, brother. Ugh. Ew. Ew. We're going to go real quick into Watch What Happens Live because the guests were Jackson Sandoval. I only watch for the Sandoval parts, which was like, ooh, you know. A real hard road for me. But anyway, Andy starts by asking him about the hot mic moment where he's like, oh, this looks good for me. And Andy makes a point of, you saying it looks good for me actually makes it look pretty bad for you. And he's like, well, what I meant was, like, I did my job. I just meant, like, everything came together, like, my plan came together. Like, that's what I meant. I didn't mean, like, oh, this is so calculated. I just meant, like, everything that I did finally came together in a perfect plan. And that's why I was laughing like a witch bitch, you know? Not, like, intentional. It's just, like, my plan came together, you know? Whew. So then he's, like, going on about, like, I did my job. Like, our job is to do have tough conversations. And, like, I was able to do that. Okay. So then, great listener question asking, what do you think about what you said about the group? What you said that Ariana felt about the group. And he was like, well, I was actually being a little bit over the top on that. But, like, I just kind of felt like, really, it was, like, there's been a theme over the years of, like, I was the one showing up for us both. That, like, if these people are important to you, then, like, you'll show up, right? But, like, I was being a little dramatic. So it wasn't fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. Because the lady was like, why, what proof do you have that Ariana doesn't actually like these people? What has she said? Oh, well, I was just being a little dramatic. Do you see how wildly I lied? Just say, I lied. That's not true. She never said that. She doesn't feel that way. I lied. Liar. Liar! Y'all, I'm so happy the show is over. So what we know from the preview for the reunion is that what we saw is not the end of the show. Sandoval cackling like a witch bitch apparently was not the actual season finale. And that we are, along with the cast, going to be watching the last couple minutes and seeing their live reaction to that in part one of the reunion. So I guess we'll see. I felt like they played this preview of like the build up to them watching this scene. And then it felt like the reactions that we saw were maybe not the reactions to said scene. On the other hand, there have been reports, shout out to the Instagram account CC Loves You. She said she had this whole conversation, hour long conversation with Kyle Chan, and that part of what is going to be revealed in the reunion is that Tom Sandoval bought a gun. He called Kyle Chan one night. It was like a very tough situation, a little murky, etc. And if that is the case, I think, yuck. Kind of like what I said earlier this season where Tom was talking to Lisa and being like, I contemplated suicide. I felt, and then Lisa went to Sheena and Lala and was like, you guys need to like really befriend him and like ease up on him and stuff. I'm thinking, okay, if this is really the case, y'all, Lisa, production, the show, need to take Tom Sandoval off the show and get him into some sort of therapy or mental health care and work things out and not put it on Lala and Sheena with this man's mental health. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that would be the fair and right way to go about it. So again, if this is happening again, where this sort of thing is revealed, and now they're supposed to react to it, to me, makes me feel like they're supposed to also be responsible for this great reveal. What do you want them to say? That's really unfortunate. But again, if y'all were holding on to this information, then why didn't you guys take him off the show and help him out? Because that sounds like a very serious thing. So what do you want James to say? You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those situations that is so tough because once you put that out there, what are we going to say? Like, you have to give people grace. We all know that. But again, to put it on the cast and not the people who are supposed to be responsible for their talent, I just feel like is very unfair and weird. So I'm like hoping that this is actually not true because what? What? You know what I mean? Like, that's wild. That's wild. Well, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. What I'm going to be doing, because I have not recapped Martha's Vineyard and the Valley, is that I will be doing that to maybe Friday. I don't know. I also have to do Seeking Sister Wife, but I say all that to say all of the episodes, all the recaps for this week will come out at some point. I don't know when. We're gonna work it out. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.